35. Blood and Flowers. Griff stood silently on the tiger-skin rug in the captain's quarters. Miss Hackendotter sat with her back to him. She tapped with a metal finger on the golden key of her wireless telegraph, sending a message, he assumed, to the guild master. Griff trembled with joy. It was so wonderful to be with her again. He'd grown up under her tutelage, and he loved her fervently. Why isn't she talking to me? He wondered. Can't the telegram wait? I haven't seen her for 6 months. 6 months! The longer the message grew, the more Griff rubbed his hands and fidgeted. The movement kept him from shivering. The Wyvern was an icebox. All ships were cold. He actually missed the cramped, humid quarters of the Actinio. At least he had been warm there. He began twirling a nearby globe on its pedestal, first slowly, then faster, watching all the countries spin. Turn, he thought. Turn, turn, turn! The world turned, but Miss Hackendotter didn't. He jammed his finger on the globe and let out a squeak of pain. He put his finger in his mouth, then pulled it out and looked at it. It was, of course, invisible, but a bead of blood appeared in the air and slowly rolled down his finger, revealing some of its shape. He watched the blood drip, then stuck his finger in his mouth again. It was comforting, and he liked the brassy taste of blood. Dr. Hyde had never been able to explain why his blood still appeared red when he cut himself. It was the only colour he had. "I remember when you used to bring me flowers," Miss Hackendotter said, abruptly standing to face him. "Do you remember that, Griff?" "Yes, yes. I was a boy then. I would watch you arrive in your airship. It was such a lovely vessel." "Well, today you brought me something much better than flowers. You have exceeded all my expectations. I am so proud of you." His invisible heart began to beat faster. "Oh, it was nothing, Miss Hackendotter. You are not normally modest, Griff, nor should you be. Dr. Hyde would be proud, too." "How is the old genius?" he asked. "Busy. There is always work for him to do and places for his mind to go. He misses you." "He misses my help, you mean?" "Perhaps, but he has other helpers now. Not as colourful as you, of course. He sends his best." Griff had been prodded and poked so many times by the old sot, he didn't think of the doctor with much fondness. But Hyde had made Griff who he was, Invisible Man the First. For that, he was extremely thankful. "The Guildmaster sends his greetings as well." That made Griff swallow. The man who led the Clockwork Guild, who had no name but the Guildmaster. Griff had never even glimpsed him. He had tried once to sneak into the glass and iron fortress on the far end of the island, but the dogs had prevented him. "Then I've done well," Griff said. "I will bring you many more flowers. I hope you didn't find New York too cold. The information you gathered there and from the submarine ship was crucial, and figuring out how to use that agent's wireless telegraph was brilliant. The Guildmaster relied on your reports to design the balloons, and he provided us with much more equipment. Is there anything else you have yet to tell us?"
"There's a city, Miss Hackendotter.
Mad Montoriol created a city beneath the waters that she calls New Barcelona. I've not seen it with my own eyes, but Modo and Colette visited it." "Ah, I am certain we will learn more about it from the captain. She was not talkative a few minutes ago, but the guards are encouraging her as we speak." She paused. "I am especially curious about this Modo."
"There's not much to him," Griff snapped.
"Now, now, no jealousy, Griff. You are better than that. You say he can change his appearance." "Yes, and his actual shape. He can disguise himself as anyone. Well, not as me, of course." "A very interesting skill. He's a bore, though. Unimaginative, strong, and dumb as an ox." "And his loyalties? Are they deep?"
"He's loyal as a mongrel to his master."
"Well, we shall have to study him. The Guildmaster will want to know details. Dr. Hyde, too. Perhaps we can learn how he performs his tricks. The thought of them being thrilled with Modo made Griff grind his teeth.
But he's not invisible. No, my sweet, dear Griff, he is not you. No one is.
I assume the knot you tied will not choke him. I would be disappointed if it did. Griff bit his invisible lip.
No, no, he's safe. Good. Again, I am so very proud of you.
She had an unerring ability to stare directly into his eyes. He didn't understand how she sensed where he was standing.
I am disappointed in just one thing, though. We have talked about your slowness to take action. Sometimes you hesitate too long. You could have brought that submarine ship to the surface much earlier.
I will do better. I promise.
I know you will, Griff. That is all. The coxswain's cabin has been prepared for you. Please relax. You deserve it.
She patted his shoulder. But what he wanted most of all was for her to wrap her arms around him, to be held, that metal hand clasped tightly around his back.
Thank you, Miss Hackendottir. Thank you.